Walker, MLB and LSU star, willing to be the head, the hitting coach for Mike Bianco if he gets the job. We'll keep you posted on that. When we come back, who is the best running back in the NFL? Give me a reason why. You're going to name me a name. The Sports Hangover at ESPN New Orleans.
When you're sick, you want to be close to home. World-class medicine doesn't require a trip to the city because the best care is close to home at Thibodeau Regional. We're continually adding new services, and our team of physicians has grown to more than 250.
That's a lot of doctors.
More doctors, more services, treating more conditions.
And keeping more families healthy.
World-class medicine, right here, close to home at Thibodeau Regional.
Wow, look at the talent here tonight. What's up, Shameless? Oh, hey, 90 Day Fiancé. Grey's Anatomy, uh-huh, I see you. Futurama, looking good. Blackish, come here. Solar Opposites, looking fire. The Handmaid's Tale, shrill. What's up, Palm Springs?
Don't be weird about it. With everything you love, the choice is easy. Time to have Hulu.
At CDW, we get that hybrid working might take some getting used to.
Yep, I'm only in the office part-time, so my cat can adjust to me being gone.
How nice. Wherever you're working, CDW can help you stay connected by implementing secure by design HP Chrome OS devices with built-in virus protection.
Gotta run. The boss is calling.
Mr. Whiskers sounds very demanding. IT orchestration by CDW. People who get it. Find out more at cdw.com/HP Chromebook.
For the ones who get going when the going gets tough. And the ones who know we're tougher together. For the pathfinders breaking new ground. Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as fast access to experts and 24/7 customer support. Because we know you have people depending on you. So you can always depend on us. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
Hour number one was brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the
game of claims with insurance companies.
You've been injured in an accident, ring the King, 504-909-KING. Hour two. Ed Daniels, bottom of the hour, Kenny Farrell, coaching the gestures. Coming up at 145, Portugal defeating Hungary 3-0 as Ronaldo. Two goals late in the game. Jordan, after Hungary had a goal, it was called back due to offsides, and one, two, three goals by Portugal. Speaking of Portland, something we were going to touch on, we just didn't have enough time in the segment at 12:45 in top stories, yes. Jordan.
Yeah, it looks like Eric Spoelstra, coach of the Miami Heat, he's kind of looking at that Portland Trailblazers.
Well, his name's been being bantered by the Portland folks over there. Again, sent it to the group text. Why would Eric, like, give me a reason Eric Spoelstra would leave Miami
ever
to go to Portland?
Ever. Well, same reason why LeBron left Miami to go back to Cleveland, which I don't know why. Well, it's because it was his home.
No, that's completely different. I mean, Eric Spoelstra is not from Portland.
Well, no, that was a bad example.
That was a horrible example. What I'm saying is, let's try that again. Why would Eric Spoelstra leave Miami to go to Portland?
Money.
Is there enough money? I guess anyone could always say there's always enough money. You have that price, but I don't know, man. Just hadn't been there 2 weeks ago. If I'm a millionaire and do well, and I'm sure Eric's doing well in Miami. Yeah, I don't know, man. You know. 305 type living, that weather, the water, Portland. Not that Portland isn't a majestic and beautiful place, but who am I kidding? I sent you a picture of my son with his mouth open like he's trying to catch flies or something while we're on the water in Miami.
Nice boat.
You see the picture? He's having fun. You think he would go to Portland?
No.
Daddy, why are we... Can we go back on the... He's asked... I told you this was going to happen. The problem with showing a four-year-old that kind of life already is he thinks that is easily attainable and something I can do every weekend. I can't, son. Yeah, now, he's smart enough. He's like, we have a lake here. Why can't we... It's not the same. I'm not ripping our lake.
It sounded like a rip.
The one that you cross, 24 miles of brown
instead
water.
Of L.A., Miami.
Man, it's not even close. What are you talking about?
Miami.
It's not close. You can boat all you want up and down the lake. I saw your pictures of you
Absolutely.
And your boating excursions. Where is that, by the way, anyway?
Absolutely trash.
Where were you boating a couple of weekends ago? Where is that when everybody gets together and puts boats together in the water?
I don't know.
Oh, you forgot already?
I really don't know.
Really? You don't know what it's called?
No, I really don't.
You were there with certain friends of the program, like Sissy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, now you remember. Funny,
no,
funny how that piqued your brain all of a sudden. All of a sudden, it all came flooding back, huh? Is it Crab Island? No, that's
Crab
Destin.
Crab Island?
No, that's Destin, buddy. That's
no, I don't know. I honestly don't know where it was.
You don't? How do you not know where you were?
I was just
Is it in Lake Pontchartrain or Maurepas?
No, it's not Lake Pontchartrain.
Is it on the other side of 55?
I mean, it's connected to Lake Pontchartrain.
You don't even know your lakes, do you?
Nope. I'm just in a lake. I'm on water.
Look, I'm not going to blame you. Based on your photo, I would have cared where I was either. I understand now. But anyway, that's about it. I mean, give me that lifestyle any day. And I want to get a boat. I do. But you know me. I want to do my show and retire in Florida.
You can still do that.
Nah, not here. It's just not the same. And I'm not ripping you guys out there to go out there and hunt and fish and all that. It's just not the same. Give me the Gulf Coast beaches. Or give me the beaches over there any day. That said, I saw that this morning, and I know Raphael makes a lot of fun of it and brings this up a lot. He says it's basically get up should be called NFL get up. And it really honestly is. And I don't mean this to be in a bad way, honestly, right? But like Mike Greenberg in that show will save Heather Dinich and the college football playoff expansion of possible 12 teams to like 2.5 minutes. And the entire segment, Greenberg goes, we're not going to have enough time for this, but hurry up. Give me your best 10. In order to then get to a 8-minute segment on Aaron Rodgers and the Packers.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm being dead serious. Or topics like this. Who is the best running back in the NFL? Like it's, there's no timeliness to it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, that was timely. It was, they're about to expand this to 12 games. Like, I want Herbstreak. I want Coach. I want, give me, you know, people from College Game Day. Like, you could have filled days worth of get up with college. Herm Edwards, like, bring in coaches. Like, that's intriguing to me. Give me some small, cool school coaches and players and stuff. No. Hurry it up. Hurry, Jordan. Hurry it up because we got to get to, will Aaron Rodgers still be a Packer? I mean, it's silly.
Give me a few minutes. I have the on the man of get up from this morning, so I'm trying to find.
But you'll see what I'm talking about.
Talking
I'm telling
about.
You, like it shuts up.
I found
anything.
It.
Yeah, okay. So you found it. But anyway, the whole point of it is they brought up who is the best running back in the NFL. Now remember back in May, Pro Football Focus posted their top 32 running backs in order for the upcoming 2021 season. Derrick Henry was number one. Dalvin Cook, Minnesota, 2. Saying that Cook is the closest thing to Henry in terms of a running back and outperforming expectations in the NFL. Christian McCaffrey is 3 of the Panthers. Nick Chubb of the Browns is 4. 124 broken tackles the last two seasons. Alvin Kamara is 5. They write on Kamara, like McCaffrey, Kamara is an all-around weapon on offense for the Saints, as he has seen 100 targets and hauled in 80 catches in every season of his career. The Saints back has averaged 2.0 yards per route run in the NFL. Aaron Jones, 6. Saquon Barkley, 7. Chris Carson, Seattle, 8. Josh Jacobs of the Raiders, 9. Kareem Hunt of the Browns, 10. So they have 2 backs in the top 10. Cleveland does. Now, so that's Pro Football Focus. This morning, again, on Get Up, Diana Rossini went with Derrick Henry. And she went with Derrick Henry, bringing up the fact that he has the most yards from 2019 to 2020. Derrick Henry has 3,567 yards. Dalvin Cook is second with 2,692. Now, Dominic Foxworth went with Kamara. He says, well, Kamara led all running backs in percentage of plays, resulting in a first down. 32%. That's in 2020. With a minimum of 100 touches. And as I said, the other panelist, Woody, went with McCaffrey for Carolina, saying that he's just the best all-around type back. So I'll ask you this question. What is the best running back in the NFL? Is it the best rusher? Kamara's not it. Is it the best all-around back? Is it the best pass catcher? Look, we can kind of say either or in a lot of different areas. I will say this. Cook, Kamara, and McCaffrey, I honestly think depending on the week, you could throw him in a hopper and the ball pops out in his name, and I, you know, wouldn't disagree because you can make a case and argument. And for some of y'all right now going, you would put Cook, absolutely. Did you see the playoff game 2 years ago? Remember when he was not, when he was injured? Minnesota went as good, came back for the playoff game. Dalvin Cook played better. Now, again, Alvin Kamara was injured. Remember, that was the game where Alvin Kamara didn't look good. He dropped the screen pass. I mean, he did not look good in that playoff game against the Vikings. He was injured. Last year, he said he was just trying to get through games. When he was healthy, what happened last year? My man had not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, but six touchdowns in the game, Alvin Kamara.
On Christmas.
Yeah, nice present. Christian McCaffrey is incredible. That guy's their leading receiver, much less a guy that can run.
How is he doing coming off an injury, though?
Right, but my point is those three guys, again, this is no diss to Derrick Henry. But and Derrick Henry is by far the best rusher. Right? I mean, look, you just made the face. That guy, stiff arm. I mean,
bulldozer.
No, he's ridiculous. And as Rossini just said as to why she went with him, go to his Instagram, look at his videos right now. My man's just, like, he's working out with chain links, like things that you would, like, you know, attach to semi-trucks. He's strong. But, as you've seen in some playoff games, Jordan, he stacked the box, and maybe that's why Tennessee went and got a Julio Jones. You can kind of contain it. Does that make sense? Now, my man's still good. The thing is with McCaffrey and Cook and Kamara, they are good pass catchers. I do think when you think of the best running back in the NFL, you do have to use all, I would say, three things for me. Can you rush the football? Can you catch the football? And can you pass by? Can you stay on the field? You know? Those are some three elements to it. I'm okay if you say that Kamara is not the best running back in the NFL. He's definitely top five, and I think he's all right there. Jordan, where would you put Kamara? Are you putting him behind Henry? Are you putting him one?
Top three.
Top three? Well, who's one? Who's the number one running back in the NFL?
Well, you're putting me on the spot now.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like I don't have a very strong, like I could make the case and argument, right? I've seen Dalvin Cook do some things. I've seen Christian McCaffrey do some things. Obviously, Kamara. Look, I've said several times on this show, Alvin Kamara is the most talented player on the Saints roster. It's the best offensive weapon. It's not even close. You can Michael Thomas me. You can do. It's not even close. He's the only player on the offense that can score a touchdown in a handful of different ways. I guess you can say, you know, Harris and these guys can score in an end around and all that stuff. But I'm just saying, I'm pretty sure Alvin will catch the ball. Pretty sure Alvin can run. He has good vision, great balance. We've seen him stiff arm. We've seen him jump up. I mean, like, Alvin Kamara is incredible. You know? So, I don't know. What do you think? What do you think, Jordan?
No, I mean, to your point, I just think what you've seen from Derrick Henry in the playoffs, I mean, you can't look past that. And especially just, you know, he kind of tends to make big breakaway runs when they're down in a game. And Alvin Kamara, he can do that, but I just don't think he has that type of speed like a Derrick Henry does.
Right.
But I do think Alvin Kamara is...
You think Derrick Henry is faster than Kamara?
I do. But I think Alvin Kamara has more playmaking abilities than Derrick Henry, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll take your opinion on that. Again, this is what popped up on Get Up this morning, and everyone's kind of touching on it on social media. So I'll get your opinion on it. Quick break. When we come back, we'll touch on that here as more. And a couple other topics that I want to throw out as well. At Daniel's bottom of the hour, Kenny Farrell. And then in hour number three, I'm literally going to go through all that Bank of Saints sound that we didn't really get through to a lot last week. So we'll do that next on ESPN New Orleans.
Get ready, Greater New Orleans area. The big one, the Great Southern Gun and Knife Show, is coming for 2 big days only this weekend at the Pontchartrain Center on Williams Boulevard. Show hours are Saturday 9 until 5, Sunday 10 till 5. Hundreds of dealer tables available, full of guns, knives, ammunition, holsters, gun, books, camouflage, jewelry and related items. Hunters and collectors, this big show's for you. Buy, sell, trade, or just spend the day browsing. Ladies are especially welcome. Admission is just $10 for adults and $2 for children ages 6 to 11. Sorry, no one under the age of 18 admitted without a parent. Got any guns to sell? Be sure they're unloaded and bring them to the show. Thousands of buyers will be there. Instant background checks available for gun purchases. The big one, the Great Southern Gun and Knife Show. Show hours 9 to 5 Saturday, 10 till 5 on Sunday. Come to the Pontchartrain Center on Williams Boulevard to exercise your right to keep and bear arms. While you're there, be sure to register for the $50 restaurant gift card. See you there at the big one. Sure as shooting, don't miss it.
Your new Ford dealership in LaFouche Parish is Calvin Braxton Ford. You may need your vehicle serviced, but you don't want to drive too far. Get ready for some good news. The Calvin Braxton Ford service department in Lockport is now open. And better yet, they truly want to keep your vehicle running at its best. Now offering a special on gas-only oil changes, just $39.95 up to 5 quarts. Plus, with 4 new tires, your alignment is only $69.95. Yeah, Calvin Braxton Ford, 5878 Highway 1 in Lockport.
Advanced Eye Institute in Cutoff is your hometown eye care provider. Dr. Darby Chasson is here to serve the eye care needs of your entire family. Full-service eye medical and vision services are provided in a friendly atmosphere. For the latest in designer frames to advancements in astigmatism and bifocal contact lenses, call Advanced Eye Institute at 985-632-2884 for your appointment today or visit their website at visionsource-drdarbychasson.com.
How can we be excited about a show where we just talk?
Talk sports.
That's how they talk in the Major League.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
A bit of breaking news. It looks like, per reports, James Harden will play tonight. That's in Bucks, barring a setback, Jordan, in warm-ups. Andrew did say, per Woj, we spoke with Andrew Lopez a little bit earlier, that he was going to give it a test during pregame warmups and see if things went well for that. Again, one of the storylines that we're talking about is on this very topic is Kevin Durant. Can he carry a team? It's one of our questions of the day. What is a reasonable expectation for a player to, quote-unquote, carry a team? Can somebody legitimately do that? Here's Malika Andrews of ESPN on KD's attitude right now.
He seemed to be pretty even-keeled when he was speaking to reporters yesterday. He said, look, I'm prepared to go out there, give it all, do it all, like I do most nights, like I do every night. But obviously, he knows that there is a hole to fill. And look, he has stepped up when he has been the only one of the big three out on the floor. He's been shooting in those 5 games an efficient 63%. He's averaging just under 34 points in those games. Now, you could argue that, yes, this is the playoffs. Yes, he may need to do something spectacular, even more special in order to win this. But one player texted me the other day from the Brooklyn Nets saying, look, we still have the utmost confidence that we can win this series.
All right. So, again, though, that turns into a lot of different people, including Screaming A, the importance of KD stepping up.
I don't think it's too much to ask
for arguably the greatest scorer this game is Durant to get us one game in Brooklyn. I don't think you can win the series without Kyrie. I don't think you can win the series without Kevin Durant, James Harden both. No question. Kevin Durant ain't going to beat the Milwaukee Bucks by himself for the series. But he should be able to get you game five. And if he can get you game five, then you can really rest, obviously, Kyrie, because he can't go, and possibly James Harden. At least one of them have a better possibility of winning game seven, because you damn sure going to lose game six back in Milwaukee. Mm. Get game five.
Let's get out.
KD, you should be able to get you one.
And, of course, let's make this an even bigger game. Mike Greenberg this morning.
What's the biggest game Kevin Durant has played since he left Oklahoma City? And someone tell me why it isn't tonight. What's the biggest game Kevin Durant has played since he left Oklahoma City?
What was that all about? What are you doing?
And someone tell me why it isn't tonight.
I mean,
you know, when he left Oklahoma City, he went to Golden State.
Uh-oh.
They basically rampaged through the postseason most of the time he was there. There was that one series against Houston where the Rockets had the Warriors in real trouble, up 3-2, and Chris Paul got hurt. But KD, while there was pressure on him and that team to win then, he had a lot of other guys to share that pressure and share that load. Steph Curry might go crazy. Klay Thompson might go crazy. Draymond Green was a championship player. Tonight, and again, I don't believe we will see James Harden. It's all on KD. And this is a team that came together for one reason and one reason only, and that's to win championships.
Wow. Well, there you go.
What did I say yesterday, Gus? Did I not call what today's storyline would be with Kevin Durant? This is the most important game for his legacy.
Most important game.
For his legacy.
Yeah, exactly. All right. We did. Thank you, Jordan. You did wind up pulling what we heard this morning on Get Up. So we got Woody, Rossini. I don't see Foxworth on there, though.
I sent Foxworth.
Don't see it.
But, I said Foxworth.
We'll start
That's
with
the first one.
We'll start with Damian Woody on why he chose Christian McCaffrey.
D. Wood, how about you?
Greeny, I'm going with Christian McCaffrey. And I know Christian McCaffrey got injured last year, but it doesn't deny his greatness and what he's been able to do down in Carolina. I mean, listen, you could talk about a guy who can run it between the tackles, can run it outside. He can catch routes out of the backfield. You can split him in the slot, split him outside. The guy can literally do everything. He stuffs the stat sheet. If I'm taking a running back, give me the guy in Christian McCaffrey.
All right, fair enough. The only thing I can say about that is Diana's guy could bench press both of your guys at the same time if he wanted to.
You better not a weightlifting competition.
And Damian Woody.
Right, we not weightlifting.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about football that. Games.
I don't know about that.
Much more football as we go.
Interesting. Here's Diana Rossini.
I accidentally saved it at 5:15, so I changed it to 6.
That's okay. That's fine.
Tomorrow, Diana, who's the best running back in the NFL?
All hail the king. It's the reason why I got the greats up here, if you haven't noticed. Steve Levy, Derrick Henry, all the stars of the NFL, right? Look, just open his Instagram account, Dominique. Look at what Derrick Henry's doing every day in these workouts. He's a superhero. The box jumps, the chain dragging, I don't even know where he comes up with these workouts. All I know is this entire crew probably needs to start participating in it because we all have very small muscles. But that being said, I just go back to that 2019 playoff run that they made. 182 yards against the Patriots, 152 yards against the Ravens for wins. He was the regular season rushing king last season with 1580 yards. Come on. He's just getting better. Ever since he's been anointed as the starting running back in Tennessee, he's just improved and carried this team on his shoulder. He's number one.
All right. Well, there you go. And here is Dominic Foxworth, why he chose Alvin Kamara.
Dominique, who's the best running back in the NFL?
I think it's Alvin Kamara. I know that there's a lot of really good running backs in the league right now. But Alvin Kamara is special. I know everyone knows about his ability to run and catch the ball and make big plays that way. But you got to understand that it's about being efficient and effective as a player. And he led the league for touches that end up that result in a first down, which is incredibly impressive. Like, that's the point. We don't need any yards that are useless. We don't need you running up the score. We need to advance the ball ball. We don't need 8 yards on 3rd and 10. We need first downs. Alvin Kamara is going to give that to you, whether it's from handing the ball or throwing him the ball. If I was building a team, that's the prototypical back that I want right now, Alvin Kamara.
Interesting. That's the same answer that Marcus Spears gave us to that question yesterday. The random question was tweeted by our Matt Miller over the weekend, and so we decided to answer it.
There you go. So over the weekend, people were throwing that out, and Marcus Spears also picked Alvin Kamara. Have you decided yet on a back?
I said he's top three. I never said he's number three.
That's a really good political answer. You didn't give me anything just now. You said he's top three, but not number three. So he's one or two.
Yeah. Or three.
No, you said he's not number three. So who's number one? Who's number two? Just go with it. No one's going to be upset.
No.
You're playing Madden right now. You can pick any running back.
Austin Eckler from the Chargers has been doing really well.
That's all
lately.
The time we have for Jordan. Austin
Eckler's
really
in the top five.
Really? I'm talking about, the question is a simple question. Who is the best running back in the NFL?
I'm going to have to go one King Henry and two Alvin.
Okay. See, I wasn't going to pick on you. That's what I'm saying. I honestly think you could make a case for all of them, and I don't think I could like be angry at somebody for saying it, right? In regards to this question, who's the best quarterback in the NFL?
Not Patrick Mahomes.
And you see, and that's where, you know, you're done. I mean, anything you would say from here on out, you're
Justin
done.
Herbert.
Oh, come.
What?
You know what?
What was that?
Justin Herbert.
Anyway.
I don't even know how you say that. Anything. I'm waiting. Nothing?
Nothing.
Okay.
I have nothing to give.
All right. Diana Rossini did also have this to say, apparently, with your New Orleans Saints. I mean, you know, while everybody, you just showed me on your computer screen.
Yeah, Carolina Panthers, Matt Rule, he's talking at media.
I saw Belichick was talking.
Talking about Patrick Mahomes.
But there was Saints news today. I'm surprised you didn't throw that in the top stories at 12:45.
Oh, I thought the only story was the Saints running back Alvin Kamara in his cereal.
You didn't see TMZ's post?
I did not.
Go look, type in TMZ. This is the story of story today for your New Orleans Saints.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it is. I think you're being very dramatic.
I'm not being dramatic at all. There's a photo of head coach Sean Payton being an extra on his movie. And there's a picture of Kevin James as Sean Payton. He's got a white Saints shirt on. And it almost looks like a Dallas blue pullover. It's really odd. Surprise. He didn't think that was important. I mean, Sean's filming a movie, man. He's got no time for OTAs and minicamps.
That's why.
Yeah. Dan Rossini had this to say about the Saints, though, in particular to the quarterback.
I've covered New Orleans for, gosh, it feels like almost a decade at this point. And they have a really strong locker room. It's Drew Brees' team, you know? So the fact that last year Jameis Winston was able to build a lot of support in that locker room as well, I think says a lot. So do I think Jameis Winston is going to win the competition? I do. But I do think we do have to have the attitude going into this that they're going to give both these guys their best shot to win the job.
Wait. All right.
What? You just
I
the
completely
picture.
Forgot. I did not hear what Diana just said.
No.
And I caught her, and I forgot what she said.
Yeah.
But
nothing. I mean, they're both going to, you know, Jameis has that.
Jameis is going to be exactly. Anyway. What are these? I'm just seeing this.
Yeah.
That looks nothing like Sean Payton.
Well, I mean, he's.
And why is Sean Payton a janitor?
He's an extra. It's just like, you know, I mean, sometimes
he looks
see
like
Adam
he's a
Sandler
lunch,
in his movies.
It looks like he should put on the little lunch lady, like, net. He's about to
what
serve
lunch.
What
do you think lunch. Of the wig? What do you think of the
I'm not
dark
digging
curls?
It. That's what I said. He looked lunch lady or janitor. Or it looks like you're about to pull up to the 5-minute oil change. He's about to ask you water, Coke, or Sprite.
What I'm hoping for is this is a photo of a scene that showed that he snuck into Saints games dressed as somebody else. Remember, he was banished. I don't think he was even allowed to get the NFL package from DirecTV.
Maybe he snuck in.
That's what I'm saying.
And no one knew about it.
I'm hoping that this is a photo of, you know.
Could you imagine if he snuck in when he wasn't allowed to? Wonder what the NFL would do. Comrade, the good day. But no, Sean Payton had hair back then. Why is Kevin James bald in that photo. He's the one that needs to have like a wig or like a little toupee.
I don't know how you would add like a, I mean, Sean's had some short hair.
Not, he wasn't bald.
No,
back then.
I know. But I think the thing that's really throwing me off is the sleeveless thin vest thing we got going on in front of the Saints long sleeve shirt. I don't ever recall Sean wearing that. A and B looks like a Dallas Cowboy, blue and white.
And no disrespect to Kevin James, but I don't remember Sean Payton ever being that big.
Stop it.
No, that's not. It's everyone's body's built different. Yeah, yeah. He's a bigger built guy.
So what did you want, Kevin James to get fit for the role?
Well, no, because his body type is bigger than Sean Payton.
There's some liberties being taken apparently with the movie there. But at least we have our answer, Jordan, as to why we have no mini camp or anything from that nature. Don't we?
Yeah, Sean Payton's over there playing dress up.
Whoa, no, he's filming his movie. He's not playing dress-up.
Playing dress-up. if you want to go lack of a better
he's
term,
wardrobe.
He's playing dress-up.
The official term is wardrobe, okay? This is what a man does when he's completely confident in his football team. I can film a movie during the time that we should be practicing and having OTAs and minicamp. I'll just go be in a movie. You guys do whatever you need to do.
Sean, what kind of oil do you want in your car?
That's exactly right. Sports Hangover continues next. We'll bring in Mr. Daniels, sports director at WGNO Sports. I'll ask him if he has a role in the movie. He's part of the Saints Hall of Fame voting committee.
Better.
I mean, you know. Maybe he gets to ask a question to Kevin James, and if it's so, what would it be?
How do you get mustard out of your shirt, Sean?
He did.
Well, he didn't. He didn't mean to.
Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
Energize your business with Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. When you're elbow deep in a job, the last thing you need is to lose time and money fetching electrical supplies. Bayou Black Electric will deliver your items to the job site. There's daily scheduled service throughout South Louisiana, Lafourche, Terrebonne, Morgan City, New Iberia, and Lafayette, plus the river parishes too. If you need parts, call Bayou Black Electric Supply. 985-223-8807, Highway 311 in Houma.
Terrebonne General Health System Community Sports Institute is recognized for outstanding service and contributions to Terrebonne Parish. We provide a certified athletic trainer to every Terrebonne Parish High School. We also provide concussion baseline testing to over 1,400 student athletes annually, along with CPR and AED certification to over 500 area coaches at both the schools and the recreation departments. We are proud to be your trusted resource in keeping our community safe. Visit tghealthsystem.com.
Okay, let's play a little game. How many pairs of footwear do you think Skechers have sold? 100 million? 200 million? 500 million? Not even close, Shunak the Magnificent. Over 2 billion with a capital B. Why? Because so many people worldwide have discovered that with every pair of Skechers, comfort is included. So once they try them on, they fall in love with the comfort. Then they get another pair, and another, and another. And how do Skechers include comfort in every pair? By being a comfort technology company and putting comfort innovations in every nook and cranny of their footwear. With features like air-cooled memory foam, hyper-burst foam, breathable knits, ultra-go cushioning, and more. And comfortable fits like relax fit, stretch fit, wide fit, seamless fit, arch fit with expert certified arch support, just to name a few. So if you're looking for stylish footwear that doesn't cost a fortune and feels like $1 million, get yourself a pair of Skechers. Because no matter what pair you choose, you can be guaranteed of one thing. They'll be comfortable right out of the box. Find them at Skechers.com, a Skechers store, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Welcome back to the Sports Hangover, hour number two. Sports director at over WGNO Sports, Mr. Ed Daniels at WGNO Sports. The way to follow him over on Twitter. Ed, good afternoon to you. How are you?
I'm doing great, buddy. Doing real good, especially after last night. Cardinals won and the Cubs lost, so we're making up a little ground. And Cardinals are getting ready to trade for Max Scherzer, and Chris Bryant's walking at the end of the season.
Yeah.
So I'm doing good. I'm doing real well.
It's amazing. See how that worked there, Jordan?
No, I think your Cubs cheated during the weekend series.
Oh, we cheated.
They had the spider.
No.
Spider attack?
No. The only thing I can tell you is, Gus, I want you to think about something all summer,
sure.
Okay? And that's Chris Bryant in pinstripes, okay? Because he's going to be hitting the ball the other way into that short porch at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
And he might hit 45. And they're going to pay him the world, and the Cubs can't afford him.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it's just the – in the meantime, the Cardinals have this guy, Nolan Gorman, right now in the minors. He's hit seven home runs in his last five games.
Mm-hmm.
And he's coming up, and they're going to trade for Scherzer, who's a St. Louis native, by the way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to have to give up, you know, Gorman to get him. And I think the future's bright. I'm trying to ruin your day. Have I done?
I didn't even get a question out, and in my happiness. I mean, I did. I might have text.
Yeah, you text me. That's okay. Look, you know, and here's why I don't.
I text him brooms. I text him Cubs dance.
Here's why I don't text back. Okay,
because
when you're a follower of the 11-time world champion, okay, you expect to win.
I guess.
Okay.
So.
You don't have to text other people when you do win, because you expect to win.
Right.
It's not like a shooting star type of thing. All right. You expect to win.
It is. But he's absolutely right, Jordan. I mean, a sweep of the Cardinals basically is like I see Haley's comment. I mean, it doesn't happen very often.
No, you know what? Let me tell you what. The Cubs, in all seriousness, the Cubs are real good. They're playing real good right now. Their bullpen is lights out. And Davies is pitching really well, okay? And
should I get a Patrick Wisdom jersey?
Yeah, and, well, you know what? I needed a third baseman because I had Max Muncy at third on my fantasy team, and he got hurt, and he's out till July 1. So I had to pick up a third baseman, and I picked up Wisdom and started him this week, and he hit a home run, and he walked last night. So, you know, I'm all on the Patrick Wisdom bandwagon, and I've had Anthony Rizzo several years. Okay, and you know Rizzo's a great player. So
yeah, he's consistent. He's consistent.
No, I mean he's really good. I mean, and the thing about him is, what is he going to do? He's going to play 161 games. You know, I mean he might take one or two days off the entire year. Am I right?
No, I agree. I agree.
Yeah.
Very good.
So
point.
I mean, you know, look, but you know, hey. We got it one in a row. We got it rolling. We'll see what can happen tonight. So what else is going on?
Well, let's get into baseball and stay with there. And I'll ask you some other topics here as well. NBA, a little NFL here. But Ed, since we are talking baseball, look, I mean, obviously a big story up the river here is Baton Rouge. Wilson Alexander and the Advocate reporting that sources have told him and the staff over there, it's basically been narrowed down to Mike Bianco and ECU coach Cliff Godwin. Your thoughts on those two gentlemen? Do you think LSU fans would have a preference? Who do you think would be the best man for the job, or do you think both could be good?
You know, I think you know, all the former players want Bianco, and I think that Bianco is going to probably get the job. And I know he's met with LSU and. You know, LSU reached out to a lot of people. Let's just leave it that way, okay? This is a job, LSU baseball job, where you reach out to anybody who is somebody, all right, including people who have taken other jobs. You reach out to as many people as you can, and they've done that. But a lot of those people aren't going to leave, you know? I mean, believe me. If you're the administration at LSU, I think you got to find out if a guy like Tim Corbin is interested, right? Don't you?
Right. Yeah, sure.
I mean, the guys had a tremendous amount of success, and you know, and we all know that they reached out to that Pat Casey came in and interviewed, but I don't think that's going to work right now at LSU. So,
right.
You know, the thing about Bianco is. The former players want him. I think Skip wants him. And if you've got Skip wanting you, I think that's a good thing. And, you know, but look, Godwin is a guy that has a lot of experience in the SEC. He was the hitting coach on the, you know, for LSU in 2007 and 2008, the first year they went to Omaha, Godwin was the hitting coach. And he was an assistant at Ole Miss. And he's gotten East Carolina to three super regionals in 6 years. You know, the thing about Bianco that people may not receive him super warmly about is the fact that he's 1-6 in super regionals. And, you know, they just got finished losing to Arizona. But I think that this job is going to pay, you know, over $2 million a year. And you know, I would be very, very surprised if he and LSU do not make it work.
Yeah, I saw on Twitter that I don't know if it was in all seriousness or not, but Todd Walker said I'd love to be the hitting coach if it's Bianco. And
right. Well, when Todd Walker comes out and says that, that ought to be a pretty good indication of where it's going. You know, yeah. And Todd Walker's one of their greatest players ever, and he's plugged in. He knows what's going on, and you know, you could do a lot worse than Todd Walker as your hitting coach.
I would say so, yeah, for sure.
Right, and you know, the thing that Todd Walker would do is, I got to think Todd Walker would help you tremendously in recruiting as well.
Recruiting, yep.
You know, but look, you know, the next coach at LSU, the next coach at LSU, and I keep hearing, well, there's other people who have passed LSU in facilities. Well, yeah, they have. You know, I mean, Mississippi State has a Taj Mahal. They have a hotel in left field where people can. You know, they have a hotel in left field.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, you know, they have a Taj Mahal. But look, this is still LSU. And the thing that separates LSU from any other, you know, place, I think, is still the fan base. Although Mississippi State is extremely rabid. Look, Arkansas has a great fan base. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a, you know, Texas A&M hired Jim Schlossnagel. You know he's going to do a great job there. So, but, you know, I think that, you know, Bianco, the timing is right for him, and he'll be very well received by the former players. Now, the one thing that he's got to be able to do is he's got to be able to get over the hump when it comes to, you know, I mean, he's not had a tremendous amount of success in the postseason.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the things that I've seen over on social media when it comes to that. Ed Daniels at WGNO Sports Director over at WGNO. Two final quick topics here in the next 5 minutes here, sir. Look, it is what it is. We're waiting. We're in the 6 week waiting period, Ed, until training camp starts. So things like this morning on Get Up, who's the best running back in the NFL popped up. Diana Rossini went Derrick Henry. Dominique Foxworth went Kamara. And Damian Woody went Christian McCaffrey. Where would you put those guys? Look, Dalvin Cook is good as well. Pro Football Focus has Cook above Kamara in their top five or their 32. Who is the best running back to you in the NFL?
Well, let me ask you this. Has Derrick Henry been hurt? I don't think so.
He has been a guy that's with, consistent with guy. The pounding and with the usage. You're right. Yeah. He has stayed on the field.
You know, Derrick Henry is a tremendous running back. Okay. And I couldn't argue with Derrick Henry. Now, the thing about McCaffrey is McCaffrey's a different back. McCaffrey is an all purpose guy. All right. And so is Alvin Kamara. I mean, Derrick Henry's in the perfect offense for him. They line it up.
Right.
They have a big offensive line. They smash mouth and they hand him the ball 30 times. You know, I mean, he's in the perfect offense. I guess it really depends on the offense that you want. And look, Dalvin Cook is a very good player. You know, I look at Kirk Cousins' numbers over the last couple of years, which are real good, and they have Dalvin Cook, and yet they haven't won anything. You know,
good point.
I don't really understand that. You know, now McCaffrey's tremendous; he's awfully good. You know, I mean, I can't argue, but I can't argue with any of those guys, really. I mean, I think it's not where you say, look, I think there's a clear-cut answer. But if you look at production and his ability to continue to carry the football and to make yards, I mean, Derrick Henry has been incredible. I mean, he's just a workhorse. And there's a guy like that that I thought, was in this year's draft, and I really like Najee Harris.
Dude, I love Najee Harris.
Yeah, I think he's one of the greatest Alabama players ever of the Saban era. And that's saying a lot. You know, if you go back to 2008 when it really kicked in at Alabama, Saban's second year, and they really started to compete for championships, then you go back and you look at that, and I think the guy is as good as it gets.
He's going to fit in perfect in Pittsburgh. Like just that mentality with the weather.
He's a perfect plug in and play guy. And, you know, I just think the guy's a tremendous player. I mean, but when you think about it, when you guys think about it, all right, look at the guys that they had on the field against LSU the last 2 years. Well, look at the guys in 2019. Their wide receivers were Devontae Smith,
yep,
Henry Ruggs,
mm-hmm,
Jalen Waddle,
mm-hmm,
the guy who's from Miami. Come on now, he was drafted high in Jerry Jeudy, okay, and Najee Harris. I mean, that was their skill set.
Right, all first rounders.
I mean, it's, you know, ridiculous. I mean,
like top 15 first rounders.
Look at the guys that LSU had on the field.
Yeah,
I mean, look, there were 87 points scored in that game, and they're both teams. I think LSU left 15 or 20 points on
that was an NFL game. That was an NFL
exactly.
Game.
But what I'm saying is LSU had Joe Burrow,
yeah,
Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Jamar Chase.
Jefferson.
The number one pick in the draft, the number four pick in the draft. Jefferson, who was what? What was Jefferson, 22?
Yep.
Edwards-Helaire was the last pick in that round, mm-hmm, right? I mean, you know, look at the talent offensively at the skill positions on the field that day. And Miami, Alabama's quarterback was Tua.
Yeah, exactly.
And I told somebody before the game, I said, you know what? I said LSU's total in this game to win has got to be at least 40. And that might be too low. I said, because look at all of the – you got Jerry Jeudy. I mean, Jalen Waddle was hurt this year.
Right.
And he tried to play in the championship game. I think he got in a few snaps. Jalen Waddle was hurt. And what was he, the sixth pick in the draft? Six, seven? Something
pretty
like
incredible.
That?
Yeah, no. I mean, when you think of how high they all went, it was saying, I got a minute left. I want to ask you quickly on this because I've had some fun with it. But in all seriousness, big deal or not big deal, that the Saints aren't having a OTA or mandatory minicamp where everyone is doing like team drills. Do you think it's a big deal or not?
Gus, let me ask you something. In 2011, was there an off season? That was during the lockout, wasn't it?
Right.
Okay. How many games did the Saints win that year?
Yeah, I hear you. They also had Drew Brees, though. 2011 was the year that a lot of people feel that they should have, you know.
That's my point.
Yeah.
I think who your quarterback is much more important than your offseason.
Okay.
And you know what? Look, you get to camp. You get to camp, and you get to camp. You got basically 6 weeks to get ready. And if you can't get a team ready in 6 weeks, then you're not a very good coach. And Sean Payton is a very fine head coach, okay? He's a very good head coach.
I just need to know, as we close out, and there were photos released on TMZ today of him being an extra. Sean is. There's Kevin James. Are you going to be in the movie? Do you get to ask a mustard question or something?
No, I have not been asked to be in the movie, and I'm good with that.
You sure?
I think you should.
I think you should. You know, you've been around the city a long time, and I thought you and him had a little relationship there. He's helping you get a mustard stain off your suit, coat, jacket. I mean,
You know what? I haven't been asked. I didn't expect to be asked, and you know, whatever. And they probably can't afford me anyhow.
And on that note, at WGN Sports is the way to follow on Twitter.
No, you believe that, Daniels. You really are gullible. Okay?
That's it. There it is. All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time. Enjoy your Tuesday.
See you later.
There he goes. My mentor. Not this business without him, Jordan. Used to go get him Wendy's, Diet Coke, down the street on Canal Boulevard.
You still remember his order?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But it got me to where I am today, Jordan. Sports Hangover continues next at ESPN New Orleans.
Shrimp boats is a-coming. Since 1948, that's 73 years, Alaria Brothers has been in the commercial fishing and shrimping supply business, stocking large selections of 12-volt electrical and hydraulic single and double drum winches and hydraulic motors with brakes, beltless clutches, and pumps with brackets. They also carry hydraulic stainless steel skimmer winches, hydraulic valves, and hydraulic steering for up to 65-foot boats. Also a huge assortment of crab traps and crab trap wire, stocking nylon, plastic, and knotless webbing. You heard about that new webbing, Tina, knotless Dyneema. Alera Brothers also stocks shark tail netting that's reinforced with stainless steel wire. They stock four different sizes of galvanized stabilizers, also stocking a large variety of fiberglass cloth, including resin gel coat and other supplies needed for fiberglassing. Lost an anchor? Alera Brothers stocks anchors from 5 pounds to 100 pounds. Visit Alera Brothers before the season begins. That's Alera Brothers, 894 Avenue A, West Wego, online at alariabros.com. Shrimp boats is a-coming.
What happened was unthinkable. Work as we know it powered down. But E-Tail is here to keep business on. On to turn your home office into a powerhouse. On to plan your epic power lunch. On to keep your virtual team connected. On to make you unstoppable. This is the one thing E-Tail Business can do for you. And that's connecting you to work every day. E-Tail is on for business.
El Paso Mexican Grill and Steakhouse, Highway 1 in Raceland, features fantastic, authentic Mexican food and steaks. They have great lunch specials Monday to Fridays, plus enjoy happy hour from 3 to 7 p.m. with 2-for-1 margaritas. And on Fridays, it's 2-for-1 margaritas from open to close, plus live music on Friday evenings. El Paso Mexican Food and Steakhouse on Highway 1 Raceland.
Sports.
Real sports.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion. Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Hey, Coach of your New Orleans Jesters, Kenny Farrell, join us. We'll talk about soccer going on over there in Euro, Copa America as well, and also his team. Sir, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing well, Gus. Thank you. Getting ready for another game this week.
You happy with the draw? The last time you guys were on the pitch, is that a good thing or not?
Yeah, we played away to Mobile last weekend, and first half is a really, really good performance for us. Legs got tired in the second half. We tied it 1-1, but it's no way point. And, you know, the last 10 days, we played 4 games in 10 days, 3 of them on the road, a lot of travel. It was in Tallahassee, Panama City, Mobile, and we had one at home. So 2 wins and 2 ties, no losses, I'm quite happy with, but we're back home this Saturday night against Tallahassee here in Pan American Stadium, so I expect us to get the win on Saturday.
Now, look, obviously, it's a couple of days away, and we're looking at it, but I opened up this show saying here we are, is that part of the season. There could be some rain, Coach, and I know Pan American could probably handle some of that. So, I mean, I guess lightning would be the only thing that would, if it's just raining, or you're keeping an eye on the weather there?
Yeah, we keep an eye on the weather, but the only reason it would really be canceled is lightning. You know, I mean, if it's ridiculous hurricane, you know, winds, we would have to cancel it. But, you know, lightning's the only thing that really stops a game. And what happens is you have to take a 30-minute break. There's a lightning detector. It's cold if it's so many miles away. And then we have to sit for 30 minutes. I think it's 30. And if there's no lightning strikes, we go back on the field and we play. Sometimes, listen, I played a game in Dallas where the game, you know, after a few minutes was canceled, and we kicked off again at quarter to 12 at night, midnight, and finished at 1 o'clock in the morning. So, you know, when you're on the road, you got to do what you got to do. So if Tallahassee's here, they'll probably want the game finished.
All right, Coach, got about 5 minutes here, so let's quickly go through some of the top storylines that we've seen in soccer here. Look, the U.S., since we last talked, some nice performances, man. What did you think? We were waiting to see if that goalie that made the big play 2 games ago was going to get the opportunity. He did. You saw a lot of the young guys do well. Now, how does that go? Like, Jordan wants to know, when are we going to see the U.S. play in what we're seeing, whether it's the Euros or Copa America? What is the one the U.S. plays in?
Well, we've got the Gold Cup coming up.
Okay.
To position it, we talked about this for the last, you know, year and a half, 2 years since Berhalter took over, and you needed to give him time. Results weren't good. Fans were turning against him. He needed some wins. But he was building a squad, and he believed in it, and his players believed in him, and he got to that Mexico game, which everything was on the line in that match. It was a lot at stake. It was the CONCACAF Nations League, and they won it, you know, and it was a great game for everyone to watch, and they came through that threshold, so that's new. And then they followed up by beating Costa Rica 4-0. Now, that's not an easy feat, but they went on and won that game quite convincingly. So I think they're at a new level. The maturity of the players from Europe, I always talk about the players that are playing in high leagues in Europe, are the ones that are going to carry them through to the World Cup. And if they do well in the World Cup, it'll be those players. So we've got to see them thrive. And I think they're thriving with the team. The main thing is they're believing in the coach right now. And the tide is turning for him, but he's got to keep it up. I mean, the media's getting behind him. The fans are getting behind him. They're starting to make an impact again in the nation, where they were kind of sitting behind the women's team and, you know, floundering a little bit for a while. So I think they're in a good position. But again, let's see what happens over the next year or so.
Over the weekend, a scary moment, obviously, Christian Eriksen. Have you seen anything like that or thoughts, man? I mean, it's incredible when the team doctor came out and said, we lost him. We had to hit him once with a defibrillator. Should they have continued to play? That seems to be the storyline after the big story, of course.
I don't have the answer to that. I don't know if there's protocols that are already in place that when those things happen. I will tell you that I played in a game where a player died before the end.
Really?
Yeah, many years ago. And not easy. I don't know. From a player's perspective, no, I wouldn't have wanted to play the game. And, you know, from the tournament perspective, I reckon they gave them, you know, I think they actually gave them three choices. I think one of them was that Denmark could forfeit if they didn't want to play. And they would get a 3-0 loss. I think it's really hard to know what to do in that situation. The tournament's flowing. There's so many games in a month. It looked like he was okay at the time. You know, he'd got back to some consciousness, and it looked like he was going to be okay. I, as a player or a coach, I wouldn't have wanted to play that game. I would have canceled it. But, you know, if they went on and they lost, and you could see that the players weren't into it, you know, and it was the result was against the run of play. You know, Finland, you know, are not of the same level as Denmark. They pull the win out, and, you know, both teams move on, and they try, you know, Denmark tries to get back in the game. It's hard to lose your first bracket game and go win the bracket, as they probably should have. And so they have to deal with it and move on. But look, the best thing is that Christian Eriksen is okay. It seems like he's okay. You know, there's photographs of him, and he thumbs up to the cameras, and that's the goodness, right? The rest of it's just a game.
No doubt. We're getting ready to kick off France and Germany. That ought to be fun. We have that in studio here as well. Earlier, Portugal won 3-0 after Hungary had a goal, got taken away by offsides. Maybe that demoralized or not. Boom, boom. Ronaldo got two of those three. Messi with another silly set kick for a goal that we saw yesterday. So starting to see, I mean, this is why people love these type of competitions, right? The best players representing their countries. Yeah.
That's right, and if you'll win stuff at club level, but Messi needs, and we've said this before, Messi needs to win at national level. He needs to, like, they're playing in Copa America right now, which is a very tough competition in South America. You know, Ronaldo's playing for Portugal in the European Nations League, and he's obviously got off to a great start. Both of them have, actually. So they want to be very successful with their national teams. And, like, Ronaldo's probably his last hurrah, and maybe, you know, the next World Cup is the end for him, and maybe the same with Messi. And they both want to have, you know, great runs with their nations to finish their career. So, like, fair play to them. It's very exciting to watch with all these tournaments going on around the world right now. And when the national teams are playing, there's a lot to buy into. So it's just a really exciting time for soccer. Ronaldo is just ridiculously good for his age. He's just unbelievable, an unbelievable athlete. And I think it's going to be exciting to watch over the next month. I mean, we've got another month to 5 weeks of this kind of soccer going on. So it's great stuff.
Yep, Gold Cup coming up, the USA today, the USA July 11th will be playing their first in the CONCACAF Gold Cup. 10 seconds, man. Who do you like, Germany or France?
France.
Ooh.
France. Germany is very stoic. They're very good, but France has some quality players. But Mbappe is one of the best players in the world. He'd be very hard to stop. And N'Golo Kante in midfield for France is just a genius. He's a holding midfielder. So I really think that France are the favorites for this.
All right, we'll keep an eye on the weather as well. Saturday, what time, Coach? 7 o'clock against Tallahassee?
7 p- 7 p.m. at home against Tallahassee at Pan American Stadium in City Park.
All right. Bring a raincoat. It'll be fun. Now get out there and have
It'll
fun.
Be a beautiful... Gus, it's got to be a beautiful day, and you better be there. You're in trouble.
You know, if I can get there, I will. I promise. Jordan, let's go out there. Let's get out there.
I'll swim over there.
There we go. We'll swim over there. Coach, thank you for your time, man. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right. Take care. Thank you.
See
you,
Hour Coach. 3 coming up next on the Sports Hangover. Am I coming out of left?